two. Welcome to the Voiceover Sojourn. If you're a new listener, I'm Leah.
Oh, and I'm Nick.
Yes, and we've been making this quality, smooth running...
So slick.
...podcast, which is also award-winning, by the way, for voiceovers, since 2015. And it's been going so well that the organisers of the One Voice Conference ask us to make their official podcast every year as well. Isn't that nice?
You're welcome. Yep, One Voice
no
Conference.
Problem. Anytime. So the great thing about making an episode of the Voiceover Social all about a conference is that there's loads and loads of like ready-made stuff you can just plop into it. But also the downside of that is that there is loads of stuff to put in. Oh my word, so much editing.
You okay, babes?
I'm okay. Yes.
Anyway, we've got loads to tell you about. So very quickly before we start, you might remember, listener, that we created a voiceover career planner last year, which sold out in less than a month.
It did.
Well, I know, right? It's back, and sorry, but it's even better than before. What we've done basically is gather loads of feedback from all the people who managed to get a copy of the first generation one, and now the second generation one, which I can't say without feeling like a Star Wars film or Star Trek film. It's available to pre-order. You can get the second generation voiceover career planner, but only till the end of June. You can pre-order it till the end of June. We'll be printing limited numbers again because, you know, trees. So if you want to make absolutely sure that you get a copy, then click the link in the show notes, order it now, and we'll deliver to you in September by hand. We're going to go on a road trip and we're going to bring it to you. No, I'm joking. Can you imagine us turning up?
I would love that. I could happily do that for the rest of my life. I'd rather be hand delivering planners to people by hand to their front doors than standing in the post office queue for 3 hours a day. So
that woman
sounds great.
Woman's gonna hate you.
She is. So it's absolutely stacked with stuff to help you set and achieve your goals. So it's not just the structure itself that helps you plan out your day and your week and your year, but also there's guidance on how to set goals in the first place and reach them and create successful habits, and also a whole bunch of advice on web design and studio troubleshooting, self-direction, also warm-ups that we've developed even further since the last print run.
We'll remind you again at the end of the show about this and for a lot of times on social media and stuff if you follow us. But don't forget, the pre-order window is only until the end of June 2022. So don't wait around, right? Because they do sell out and we don't want you to miss it. And the other thing you need to look out for at the end is that we've got some very important news about the future of the podcast. It's nothing to worry about. But there's just some stuff we want you to know.
Okay, yes. So, the One Voice Conference. We haven't been able to include everyone in this episode because there were some brilliant sessions that we just didn't have room for, like Liz Drury's and Ruth Urquhart's and Sam Boffin's. And there are some we're saving for a future episode as well.
Ooh.
Also, we've included some as part of like a compilation. So not every speaker is listed here by their full names, but you can find all of those details in our show notes.
So later on, we're going to be finding out about how to audition for Disney, even if you're based in the tiny little UK. And we'll be hearing some rather thrilling new developments in AI as well. But first, let's kick off with the keynote, shall we?
Yes, let's. Friday night's keynote speaker was Dirk Maggs, who's a big fancy cheese in the world of audio drama. He was at the BBC for years, and he recently made Neil Gaiman's The Sandman for Audible. He's prolific, he's progressive, and he has such fun hair. So let's hear from him.
When you see people like James McAvoy or Benedict or Kevin Smith or anyone like this, and you think, oh, the big names, they've really cracked it and so on. There's a reason they've done it. It's because they bring to the party ideas, energy, enthusiasm, and they generally are nice to have around. And I can't say too much how good it is to have a great working relationship in the studio. A friend of mine is in Los Angeles, has just been doing an audiobook with an actor who's never done audio before and had a really hard time of it because the actor decided it had to be adversarial. May you always work with directors who see the job as being a collaboration, because that's what we're here for. That's what we do. We find our way through it. And if it goes a bit wrong or something, we'll work our way around the problem or blunder through. I'm doing influences now. There are things that you just got to hear because the voices are just beautiful. And Richard Burton, reading Dylan Thomas, it doesn't get better than this.
To begin at the beginning. It is spring, moonless night in a small town, starless and Bible black, the cobbled streets silent and the hunched quarters and rabbits wood limping invisible down to the slow black, crow black fishing boat bobbing sea.
I mean, it's like velvet, isn't it? I mean, mind you, the ribbon mic and the dreadful recording help, but that timing, the cadence, finally the poetry and the piece, and a lot of the time on Sandman, which I'm working on with Neil at the moment, we've just finished Act 3, I'm spending a lot of time saying to the cast, look for the meter in the line. Neil writes a lot of iambic pentameter, even in the comic books, and it's crazy, but it's always worth, just when you've got a script in front of you, is there something going on here I'm not seeing immediately? Apart from the subtext and the obvious textual characteristics, it's worth checking whether there's a little bit of poetry going on. Meanwhile, away from the world of poetry, I don't sit behind the glass with the tech operator. I'm in the room with you, the actor, because that way we can play with ideas immediately. Another bit of set stuff I've got here, which is inside the Down Street lift in London Below. We built the lift out of sound screens so that when they're trying to squeeze in, they're actually literally doing it. And I love to put actors in situations where they can act through obstacles, like eat a banana while doing the poem, you know, that kind of thing. So this is them actually squishing in.
Step inside, please.
It's a bit higher. Oops, sorry about my hand. It's a bit of a squeeze, isn't it?
Yes, isn't it?
Excuse me.
By all means.
I'll squash up a bit.
Are you all in? Good. I will send you down.
The Saturday keynote speaker the morning after the boat party, am I right? Morning after.
No.
Was an actor called Debbie Arnold, who's particularly well known for her facility with accents. So we've got a clip of her here doing that. Peter Dixon was interviewing Debbie on the stage, so take it away, Peter.
You have a natural affinity for accents, I think. It would be fair to say you can do impressions and accents. But let's just go back a little bit and listen to your next demonstration.
Yes.
It's a tour around Britain.
So perhaps the best place to start is in London, South London. It's different to Cockney because it's a mixture of quite a few dialects, East Anglian, Suffolk, Norfolk. And then we go to the West Country, where it starts rolling to Dorset and Somerset and Devon. And then we get to the Black Country on the way to the North, to Yorkshire, and words like grapefruit and juice. And then moving across to Lancashire, which rolls around Blackburn and Burnley and Bolton, and it gives a much more flexible sound. And then across to Liverpool, which is a mixture of loads and loads of different sounds. And then on to Wales, a beautiful, magical, musical accent. And just across the water, where we find ourselves in Northern Ireland, which is a gorgeous accent, full of interesting inflections. And then down to Dublin, which is much softer and flatter. And at the end of the rainbow, we find the pot of gold, which buys us a ticket to the Highlands, which is very poetic. And then Glasgow, and then the Edinburgh, which is the prime of Miss Jean Brodie, a very prim and proper accent. And running carefully down the coast road, we find ourselves in Sunderland and Newcastle, and we've arrived. Away the lads, and true unto dead country. So that's my tour of the UK in dialects.
John, that is amazing. I've always wanted to do that, but never had the nerve to do it. So you can teach. I've never been able to do a Geordie or a Sunderland accent.
Well, it's different.
A northeast.
Northeast.
I know it's awful. Yeah. People down south, they talk about the northeast, but there are a myriad of accents up there.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be, able to distinguish between them, Sunderland and Geordie, but. As a general sort of thing, can you teach people to do this? Would you be able to teach someone in this room to do a phrase in Sunderland or Geordie?
I could try to teach them. It might take longer than 2 minutes, but does anyone want to learn?
Anybody?
Oh, come on then.
Come on then. Yes, you personally.
I thought you just meant, would anyone like to learn? And we were all going to cheer and join in.
Yes, but the thing is, you have a secret about Sunderland, don't you?
Well, I do. Oh, would you like to hear my secret about Debbie and Sunderland? Thank you. Good.
Apart from the fact you really know how old I am, really, so don't say
no,
that.
I'm not saying anything like that. So Debbie actually went to school with my mum, and so I accosted her in the corridor with a photograph of herself, age 6, and she was very nice about it, actually. Yes.
So, can you do a Sunderland accent because of your mum?
She, I think, no longer has a strong Sunderland accent.
That's disgusting.
Well, she sometimes calls me Pet, actually.
E-Pet.
E-Pet. E.
So
e.
E. You see, you get if you like, you have a word that you hang on to, like E. Everybody in the Northeast goes, E! When they see you, they go, E-Pet, hello! You know, so it's, can you try?
What, like to do a Geordie accent?
That's very good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but that's very Newcastle.
Well, I can't really tell the difference, I'm sorry.
Well, so Sunderland is softer?
Sunderland is softer.
Very good. That was brilliant.
So to be honest, I think I had more of a head start on the Geordie accent because of episode 45 of the Voiceover Social that we made, which was all about the history and the current use of it. But my mum does feature on that episode, and I can't remember if I mentioned at the time or not, but she's the guitar player in the ad.
What?
In the middle, that's episode 45. Yeah, she plays a guitar, and there's me humming.
I had no idea.
And it's like an old northeasterly folk song.
Aww.
Yeah. There's Easter eggs all over the shop. Anyway, so let's think. What's the next bit? Yes. So our next clip then is a prime example of the sort of thing that can disappear under the radar a bit at a big conference. And also it's why having us make an episode all about the best bits is so useful, because there was hardly anyone in the room for Sam Crowther from A Million Ads session on Instinctive Audio.
But it was the most beautiful, fascinating ride through what sounds we instinctively respond to and how that can be incorporated into creative audio advertising. So, for example, through dynamic digital advertising, which is where if you have the data, you can adjust what ads people hear depending on where they are or what time of day it is or all sorts of different things. And yes, many people do have concerns around privacy with this one. But I was gripped, because audio advertising has always been such a traditional area of our industry, but things are changing.
I remember seeing you just after that and your face
I was buzzing.
You agog?
I was
agog and buzzing.
It's great.
Unfortunately, as well as not many people being in the room for that one, the quality of the recording wasn't good enough to play you. So Sam's actually sent us a recording of a similar talk he did for the Internet Advertising Bureau, and we've taken a clip from that instead.
Yes, and then after we play it, we've got some extra bits about the psychedelic world of AI that I heard Sam talk about in that room that aren't in the IAB presentation, but that we think you really need to hear. Anyway, here's this bit first.
The world's first dynamic digital audio campaign was for the National Lottery.
Thank you for making an incredible difference. By playing the National Lottery, you've supported over 41,000 local projects here in the Southeast. You've supported over 2,500 amazing local projects here in Nottingham. 61,000 amazing local projects here in Scotland, here in the East Midlands, here in Newcastle. So to every one of you, we'd like to say thank you.
And then if you know location, then you know weather. Brands like Halfords, for instance, have different products for different weather conditions.
Freezing Friday afternoons like this. Wiper blades on such a wet Wednesday afternoon as this. Squeaky. Streaky.
But for me, one of the most exciting areas is your behaviour online and reflecting that in what you hear now. So imagine you've been searching for a bike on eBay.
Sunday evening. Shopping online. Beige. Come on, let's get your bike search into top gear.
So everything's based on a script, like a radio script, but then they're slightly longer because you've got lines that change by like the time of day or the location or what have you. And then all we need is then the assets to be recorded for all of the different data points.
I can pick up everything on their wish list on my lunch break.
So everything's built on a script, but then actually you can load in the assets and our system will then listen to everyone, transcribe it and then match it to the script. So it takes away a lot of that sort of manual part of the process, and you can sync up and do recording sessions very, very quickly. I don't think we've never had a voiceover on mic more than a couple of hours.
My husband's a keen baker, so I know he'll love a Von Chef Red Mixer.
And they can really rattle through large lists of locations or cities or products very, very simply.
Make Christmas simple with click and collect from 39 locations in Bristol.
But then every single ad that then gets delivered out the other end through one single VAST tag sounds like it was crafted like every radio ad. If you make sure that the edit points are all on natural breathing points, then there's no reason why everything shouldn't sound absolutely perfect. And that's what we always check and we consider.
The other area that's really exciting is voice-enabled ads. So these are ads that you can speak to and you can engage with. And we're doing trials with that at the moment. One of the ones that we're sort of working with was the idea of Tony the Tiger for Kellogg's Frosties and Frosted Flakes in the US.
I've been saying Frosties are great since your granny was your age.
Wow!
Actually, this is a special ad, and anyone can talk to me right now.
Can they?
Sure. Shall we see if that listener in Islington wants to join?
Yes.
If you do, just say yes after the sound.
So taking that iconic character and then synthetically perhaps cloning them so you can have a full conversation. At the moment, we're just doing sort of live recordings with the actual voice actor, Tom Clark Hill. But if he was then cloned, then you could have this full interaction of a family engaging with that character and talking and asking lots of questions. And it doesn't just have to be delivered by recorded audio. It could be synthetically recreated audio as well.
So, about AI, we're kind of used to talking about AI as the enemy, like it's going to take our jobs, it's an unregulated nightmare, and actually those things are true. But Sam also has some amazing insight into how it's going to allow for creativity as well. So there's that thing which is called addressable advertising that he was talking about just there, where you can actually interact with the ad. And he played a clip at One Voice of a podcast advert where you can talk to the podcast host.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, for example, if it was an ad on our show, it would go something like this.
Okay. Would you like to hear one big reason why you should pre-order your voiceover career planner? Say yes now, if you would.
Yes.
Well, it's got reminders every day to keep you hydrated. Would you like to hear another one?
Yes.
Great. We've added a bunch of new stuff to help you work out what your goals are and how you're going to achieve them. How about another one?
Yes.
Okay. Well, people who use the first generation planner have said it's made a huge difference to how much they're achieving in the day. We've got loads of these. Shall we go on?
And so on and so on and so on until you get totally fed up of hearing about the voiceover career planner. Anyway, Sam says also that love it or hate it or ignore it, TikTok has normalised the sound of the AI voice for a lot of people. So that's interesting. Also, that Hollywood is already using voice cloning for post-production movie editing. So rather than bringing in the actor again to record a word or a line here or there, they're just cloning their voice to fill in the gaps.
That would have saved a lot of money when I did a Tesco campaign and they said euros instead of pounds.
Yeah, I mean, all the many, many pounds they would have saved, or euros or whatever happened.
Oh, well. And he talked about adjusting an AI version of actors' voices to make it sound like other voices. So here's a clip of just Sam's voice made to sound like four separate voices.
This morning has been crazy. I started uni, designed
this
a
flat. This is all my voice.
Then I think you're hot and silly.
You work at Janaba.
Fell in love.
I love.
Fell out of love.
I hate you.
Went to a load of festivals. Met a cute guy backstage.
I am the festival guy.
It's dealing. Started travelling, fell in with a bad crowd. So I dropped them, lost my scholarship, took out a loan, set up a wellness clinic for two friends.
Now, Sam says that this voice-changing thing means that the actor can be brought in to provide the emotional input, which is what's missing from a lot of text-to-speech stuff at the moment. But then their voice can be changed so that they can play different characters, which admittedly has, like, some downsides in terms of, like, casting authentically and finding people and people being cast in roles and losing jobs and all that sort of thing. And then, of course, there's the dynamic ad stuff that we've been hearing about in that clip earlier. Because if you need to give the system thousands of place names rather than spending days and days doing it, you can just go into record, say, the 50 most complicated ones, and then AI generation can do all the rest.
You mean I may not have had to say the name of every single police station in the entire UK and Ireland for that job I did?
Because that took yes.
a lot. I said police a lot that day. And P is plosive, so...
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's challenging.
Anyway, something to think about. And Sam says that in the end, as we know, it's all about tying down the licensing, isn't it? Your rights are defended in law and you should know exactly how it's being used.
next up. We've compiled a whole collection of best bits as selected by VO socialites at the conference. So we've got a mix of in-person and online sessions. There's a hedgehog in there. There's an exercise you can join in with to help you de-stress in the booth. And one of our absolute favourites, Darcy Smith, on how to make vocal effort noises for video games.
Hello, I'm Ruth Urquhart, and I have just been attending the... Oh, I live in Scotland now. And I've just been attending Darcy's talk on vocal efforts for video games. And the best bits were when he got us all doing stuff.
Often when you've got a video game audition, like, you know, set of text, maybe some battle chatter, and then a series of efforts. They'll say things like, you get hit 5 times. You hit someone else 5 times, get shot a couple times, you're set on fire, right? And they want to hear all of that because they want to hear, can you handle the vocal efforts afterwards? Just learning what they're supposed to sound like can save your audition and let them know that you have some idea what this world is like. So anytime you put your effort, your energy on someone else, the volume goes from low to high. Does this make sense? So imagine you're picking something up. Can you do this with me? Imagine you're picking something up right now. Go for it and make a sound with it. Here we go. Wow, that's good. Huh, okay. So what you did right there, notice how it started a little bit more quiet, had a bit of effort to it, and then got louder. Yeah, can we do that again? Yeah, here we go. Yeah, so just understanding that's me putting my energy onto someone else is super important, yeah? So that goes for anything. If I'm swinging a sword at you, so everyone get your sword, be aware of your surroundings. Yeah, don't touch each other yet, okay? So swing your sword at someone, here we go. Oh, wow, okay, how'd that feel? Yeah, oh yeah, it does feel good, doesn't it? Yeah, and people like this, huh? So notice that you started from a low and then got high, pretty simple. Now, impacts, anything that impacts your body or someone is enforcing their will on you, volume high to low. Make sense? Yeah? So if you get shot, I'll get a little bit loud for a moment. Right? It starts loud, then drops off. Do you hear that? Yeah? So don't make that sound that I just made because I would teach you how to do that, but just make a loud sound like a ha! Yeah? Here we go. Ah! Good. And you want to watch that it doesn't glide in a little bit. If you do even a little bit of glide, like a huh, that starts to sound like an effort. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. And voice designers, they're like, can't use that because it's confusing to the player. Again, everything is information for the player. It's confusing for the player. Did they do something or did they get impacted? Yeah. So that's probably the most important thing in terms of your auditions, in terms of efforts. So let's do, do you think you could stand? We do that? Stand for a moment. So I love this one because it's not anything extreme. It's just a simple jump. Yeah? Can we jump together? Just pretend you're like on a boat. And you're like dancing or something. I don't know. Yes? So let's just practice one. We'll just do like the blocking. Go for a jump. Here we go. Yeah. So there's two parts, isn't there, right? There's the effort, me imposing my effort. Yeah. Lifting myself up. Yeah, can we just do that? Go for a jump. Here we go. Yes, fantastic. Now, depending how hard it is to make that jump, will determine what kind of sound you make. So it's actually easy for you to jump. Let's say that. Because some of us right now, it's kind of hard for us to jump. I know it's early. So let's make it easy. We'll pretend it's easy for us to jump. Here we go. Yeah, notice that's a different sound. Make sense? Now, you can't actually jump in the booth, so you've got to think about that because you'll make noise. Now, when you land, that's something impacting your body. Right? Something's happening to you, so we need to start from high to low. Cool? So just focus now on the landing part. So you're going to jump, and then what's it feel like to land? Here we go. Yeah. Here we go again. Yeah. And that'll tell you how much impact that has had on your body. If it's a big, like, right? Oh, that really hurt to land. Yes? Or if it's a soft landing and it didn't cost me anything, it's going to be a quieter sound. Cool? So let's do that. Easy to jump, easy to land. Here we go. Wow, that's very good. Okay, you can sit down now. Yeah, bravo. So that will help a ton, just understanding the dynamics of what's happening. I love the jump again because it has both sounds happening, right? You're your impact on something, something impacting you. I was just in a session this week, and we were matching, Oh No's to the animation. And the first take was, So notice that I did pretty much the same vowel every single time. Did you hear that? Change the vowel, right? Especially if they say, hey, give me five punches. Yes, just change the vowel. Because if I do, I've given them one, right? And I've just done three takes and I just cost my voice a little bit more, right? Just change the vowel, right? Oh, great, thanks. We got three there. Really simple. Change the pitch, right? Depending where you're punching, where you're getting impact, change the pitch. Obviously, you get hit in the head, it's going to sound different than getting hit in the stomach, yes? So if you got hit in the head, what kind of sound might you make? Ah! Yeah, that's great. That's really good. Yeah, get punched in the stomach. Oh! Yes. And you know it instinctually, right? That it should sound differently when it hits your body. That also tells the player what's going on. Where did you hit them? Now, here's the hard part. Most actors don't like this. It can't stand out. It can't be so special. Yes, you can't actually make the most dramatic scream you've ever made or anyone has ever made, because then we'll start to hear it in the gameplay. We'll go, oh my God, that's that special scream. It's that screamer, right? And then we met, oh, that screamer's back, right? So it needs to sort of sit inside the gameplay, right? And sort of be a part of the world, but not stand out. I know that's hard, yeah? Oh, no words. we've had sessions where people say, don't! We can't use that. Can't say, ouch! So no words. No hi-ya either. This is a very, very particular game.
I mean, it could be really obvious, but isn't there words because the game is in different countries and words mean different things to different countries?
Oh, that might be part of it for sure. But it also becomes that thing, oh, it's that ouch person.
Hi, my name's Alex Hill Knight. I'm based in Brentford, West London. And I think for me, learning from Stefan about emote strings was fascinating.
So, what are emote strings? Well, emote strings are what are used in animation when the graphics haven't been created yet. You've only got a storyboard, and the animators want to use your propositions outside of scripts in order to animate certain sequences. So, for instance, let's imagine your character is a little hedgehog walking down a country lane, and he's just had a major row with his parents about cleaning up his room. And then suddenly, on the side of the road, he sees a chest, a beautiful iron-bound wooden chest, which is closed. He's intrigued. He comes near it. He checks to see if anybody is watching. And then he tries to open it, but it's too heavy, so he can't open it. So he, stresses, etc., and eventually manages to get it open. But inside, there's like a sort of goo, translucent goo, and it's disgusting looking. But at the bottom, he sees a ring, a beautiful, amazing ring. So he has to dip his hand in order to get the ring, takes the ring, looks at it, marvels at it, and then puts the ring on, very pleased with himself, looks at the ring, and then something happens and the ring starts to burn. And at first it's not that, painful, but slowly it's getting more and more of a burn. So he's desperate to actually get it off, and he's panicking because it's hurting more and more. So that would be what the director would explain to you, and would perhaps show you on a storyboard. But what you would see on the storyboard would be the country lane, the hedgehog, the chest. It wouldn't give you all the sequences of what you need to do. And the sequence is where you would need to actually bring in the talent for improv that animators so much rely on. So we're no longer on a scripted piece of material here. We are really in the realm of the imagination. So your emote string, in this particular case, would be something like this. Basically, this is an emote string. Now, when you're auditioning, so I'll talk about sides very, very briefly, because an emote string is a good thing to put in an audition. Try to find, perhaps at the end of your audition, when you've done all the lines that they're asking you to do, making sure you're memorable for the right reasons, but at the end of your audition, I always advise you to put an emote string, obviously within the character that you're doing. Now, what I was doing there in terms of the kind of emotes was very much preschool or cartoony kind of emoting. Whereas sometimes in video games, the emote is very, very straightforward and realistic. So, never put something too big at the end of an audition, but it's good to have to show that you understand that emoting, mostly for video games and animation, is one of the key skills that you can bring to the table.
I'm Leonor Lemay. I'm based in London, and I've just been in the panel about the core issues facing the UK industry, and it was super interesting, and I learned a lot in the bit about, you know, the gig economy in relation to contracts for voice artists.
Our industry is unregulated. That's the first problem. The other issue is, whether we like it or not, voiceover is part of the gig economy. That is the reality of it, and a lot of people might not agree with that or might not want to hear that, but it's one of the realities we have to wake up to. And in this day and age, where there's nothing that is centralized, decentralization naturally makes prices cheaper. Competition drives prices down. That's just the nature of the business. I think it was interesting what, Ian, you were saying earlier when you're talking about asking, just ask. I think one of the most important questions that I learned, and I actually learned it at a previous One Voice, was the question of, how much is your budget? Because if the client has told you what their budget is, you might have done your calculation and you think the price is £800 for argument's sake. And it's amazing when you get the delightful response from the client, our budget is £1,500. So you potentially could have shortchanged yourself £700. But then there's the flip side to it where you think the budget is BSF plus 100%. And then the client's like, yeah, well, the last voiceover did it for £100. And then you're kind of stuck with nowhere to go. So for me, it's part of, with the way things are going, it's almost like you have to operate in the old world and the new world at the same time. You've got to be alive to both of them, because if not, somewhere down the line, this old thing where it used to be BSF, it's that or nothing else. The reality is that world, to an extent, doesn't exist anymore. If you're getting it from a radio station, you're getting it from a TV station, it's use fee, you calculate the TVRs, etc. But a classic example was I got asked to quote for a singer and they were only going to use it on Instagram. It was going to be a post on Instagram with my voice. I went there. The first thing I looked at is, how many followers this lady has? She has 10 million. And then I asked them, what's your price? Because I'm thinking, if you've got 10 million listeners, people that follow you, and the average like she gets is 1 million likes per post, I'm thinking, well, potentially 1 million people are going to hear this. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing the calculation using, whether it's the impressions or using TVRs, you're going to get one price. But what are you going to do? You're just going to guess and say, oh, well, I'll take 250. Can't do it like that. So it's just about educating ourselves, which is why the Grave for the Brain rate cards and some of the other rate cards are still very, very valuable and very, very useful.
My name's Tom Hillenbrand. I'm from Winchester in the UK. So I attended the voiceover agents panel. I particularly enjoyed learning about the relationship between a voice agent and the voiceover and the teamwork that's involved there.
There's a question from Kim in the audience there as well. What do you look for from voice of artists applying for representation? And I guess what we should specifically answer as well is, you know, that people may feel that they get one shot at it, you know, whether they're writing to you, Peter, or to myself, or to you, Daniel, you know. Any tips on that? You know, what make you go, oh, no, not another one? And what make you go, wow, that's one who is really standing out from the crowd?
Well,
tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is difficult. As a much smaller organization, obviously, Infinite, much smaller than Peter's, for me, and probably many other people like me, I actually quite like people getting in touch via LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Because it's not as crazy as getting hundreds of emails. It's just simply, I get fewer people via LinkedIn. This is very personal now. I get fewer people via LinkedIn, so I tend to look at them more. If there are any international people out there, then I think that's probably, it's why not? I mean, either through LinkedIn or direct email, a link to, rather than obviously sending attachments, but a link to something you've done or a link to a voice reel, that really helps. Don't send five big attachments, because that just pisses people off or risks doing so. Yeah. And I think if it's succinct, to the point, I or somebody in Peter's organization would actually take the time to click on it and look at it.
It's about timing as well, isn't it? And there's some things that are so beyond your control. Like you, but I have had days when I've been, and I've worked as a voice agent for 10 years now. I've had days when a client has needed a really big cast, say for a game or something. And I've thought, I'm so sure someone wrote to me at some point with Korean descent, but fluent English. Now, who was it? And I will literally search through my inbox to find that person. And then that person gets offered a job, because that's what I need that I haven't already got. So it's, I guess it's also about for each artist to do their homework and find out, you know, who are on Peter Morris's books? Who does Daniel already have? You know, have you got something different to present?
Don't write to a whole lot of agents at once and just say, all right, I've covered every agent. You know, it's a partnership, and you're looking for someone that you might have a long-term relationship, you know, like a marriage. If you're getting married, you wouldn't just say randomly to a lot of people, anybody interested in getting married? Oh, no, you target that agency. You look at them. Do they have a voice like mine? Because what we're looking for is a voice that we don't have, and we cannot overload, you know, 40-year-old guys with gravitas. If stuff comes into our representation, we go through it. We go through it all the time. I did it today. I was looking for some Portuguese guys, and I found a couple in Europe who we want to work with. And another thing we were looking for over the last few days was the representation. And this goes back to the same thing of authenticity of the LGBT plus community, of the non-binary community. These are something that our clients, if people want to live a paddling, they don't want somebody doing an accent.
No.
If they want somebody from Manchester and so on and so forth. And our clients want authenticity. So they want people from those communities. Do what the agents ask you to do on their site, and look at that agency and see if they've got a voice like yours. And really, the best thing you can do is put it forward in the best way. Don't write too much about yourself. Don't give too many reels. One or two of your best foot forward. A really good headshot of yourself. And the emphasis on your reel. Your reel and your headshot is all you've really got. So, and those are your major tools. And the more unique your voice is, i.e. more authentic you are to yourself, and the more real you are and natural, the sell has gone pretty much, unless it's for a furniture sale.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Unless it's for a furniture sale for a local company, then, you know, it's not, there's no selling. Everything is naturalistic. I'm telling you about this. I think it's great. Of course, it gets more bouncy when you get into it, but even the big ads have natural voices, and they have voices from the regions. That's that now completely opened to all of the regions, and that's part of, oh, I can identify with this person. It's a real person.
Hello, my name is Brendan McClatchy from Folkestone down in Kent, and I was in the Jack Oddie radio commercials and What They Want From You session. The best bit for me was when he literally outlined the do's and don'ts.
I'm not claiming to be Ipsos Mori here, but what I have done is reached out to a few producers. At their request, I'm keeping who they are anonymous. I just asked them for some general questions about what makes them tick, and maybe give you a steer on what to do and what not to do when dealing with producers. Next slide, please. Is there anything voiceovers sometimes do during session which gets on your nerves? Now, this is where it turns into a bit of a therapy session, I think, because I would say, take these on board. You want these people to like working with you. The first one, I have to admit, used to really annoy me. You call a VO to book a session and they jokingly tell you off for not using them for a while. That's not cool. And judging by the feedback, it still happens and it's still great. Asking why you've not used me since, whatever, this will get you struck off. So take that on board. Saying, hey, how are you? It's been a while. It's totally fine, though. In a session, usually the first thing they'll do is ask for a read for time and level. It's not going to be the ad that goes to where. It's a bit of housekeeping to work out levels and time, obviously. If you do multiple pickups, making it impossible to get a timing, this is extremely annoying and also a clear giveaway that you have not pre-read the script. Now, that's a really good technical point, but here's the thing. Remember when I was saying that what worked for me is reading the script possibly once? There's a reminder that it works for me. It may not work for you. However, this does also highlight the fact that sight reading is such an important weapon to have in the booth, because realistically, you will only get that script 5 minutes beforehand. When a VO takes over the session and tells you and the client what they think should be on the script, this is a big no-no unless you've been asked. Confession time, I've sometimes been dying to do this as an ex-writer, and hand on heart, I can't honestly say if I've held the temptation, think I held it in. I think and hope I've only done it a couple of times, but after reading this feedback, I've got major anxiety now, so I won't be doing it again. Slap on the wrist for me and straight to voiceover jail. Turn up late. Well, that's a given, surely. Moan about the script being overwritten. Yes, I would say that's actually just common courtesy again. And you know what? A lot of the time this happens to me in sessions, and quite often the script wasn't overwritten, okay? So it was just that the voiceover wasn't taking on our direction, and they kind of didn't get what we're trying to do, and they didn't act on our instruction. So needless to say, that is an annoying one. This surprised me that people do this. Shuffling papers, not paying attention, turning up having not even looked at the script. Not treating it like a full-time job. So this is interesting. If you make life hard for a producer with constant difficult session times, lack of avail, etc., a producer will just recast. They need to understand the pressure all producers are under to turn ads around, often quickly. That is, it's a really important reality check to the industry. Obviously, you're allowed holidays and time off, and of course you should have them, and you'll have other sessions too. You won't be available all the time. But you don't want a reputation of never being in the booth, or I suppose eventually you're in danger of just not being put forward for the jobs. Complain about the scripts. I know they're not great, but it's not my fault. Yeah, fair enough. And eating beforehand or coming into the session with a mouthful. Nobody likes super clicky mouth. Yes, and that is really true. Remember, producers are hearing you back through extremely accurate monitors, so they often have their levels fairly high, and no one needs to hear your mouth noises. Respect the script. I don't care how many years you've been voicing the same old crappy local radio ads, it says. To the client, this campaign is everything, and they may be spending a lot of money to get something to wear. Treat a £27.05 job the same as one for thousands. Now, this one really is important to someone who has met many radio station clients in a previous life, because remember, radio is effective as a medium, but it's so expensive. It's a massive deal for some of these businesses to get to air, and some of them are small businesses. So every job does need respect.
My name's Leonie. I'm based in London, and I participated in the Talk Elroy Spoonface Hall gave, which was 5 ways to manage stress in the booth. It just kind of made me slow down. The whole day was quite full of information and amazing, exciting things, and my brain was spinning from all of the things that I was kind of thinking about. And then suddenly this talk came along and I just breathed and just relaxed my body. And I actually realized going into the session I had a headache, mm-hmm. and coming out of it, the headache was gone.
Great.
It was amazing.
Start with the breath, big deep breath in. And release. Just continue breathing in a cycle of breathing that works for you. And you could be seated or laying down. Just make sure that you're comfortable and recognize the permission you're giving yourself, the power that you have to do that for yourself. And that's so important. Allow yourself to connect and feel comfortable. Start to move the toes and imagine, again, use this power of visualization and allow yourself to imagine pulling up fibers of a carpet or playing with the sand or dipping your toes in water, but really going to isolate the, we're really going to isolate the toes. And when I ask you to breathe in, we're going to squeeze and hold the toes for 5 seconds and then release. No other part of the body. Now, of course, you may slightly tense the calf muscles or some other groups may get involved, but do your best to just focus on the toes. Big, deep breath in. Squeeze and hold the toes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let go. And we're going to go further up now and engage the muscles of the calf, still just the lower legs, nothing else. Big deep breath in, toes and calf muscles. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, release. And for this third contraction, I'd like you to involve all of the muscles in the leg, the thighs, the calves, the hamstrings, toes, and also your glutes. So we're doing from the waist down. Contract everything. Big, deep breath in. Squeeze and hold. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, release. We're now going to go to the hands. So start to move the fingers, and you're just going to become aware of the muscles in your forearms, your biceps, your triceps, nothing else. And when I count, you're going to hold and squeeze both arms, ball up your fists. Let's go. Deep breath in. Squeeze. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release. What do you notice? Allow yourself to become aware of it. And don't hurt yourself, but commit to it. Now I'd like you to become aware of the muscles in your chest and your stomach as if you're doing a crunch, engaging the muscles in the core. This time, as well as squeezing the arms, you're going to squeeze the muscles in your chest and your stomach, so the whole torso is engaged. Big deep breath in. Squeeze and hold. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release. And as you exhale, don't be afraid to just let it out. Let the sound that falls out naturally, let that happen to and visualize the letting go, the freedom from all that is anchoring you in those emotions that you don't like, you don't want, that you're aware of, that you acknowledge exists, but you don't want to hold on to any longer. So now we're going to do a very important part of the body for us, especially, is the throat. You know, we have our vocal cords and so on there, and sometimes we hold a lot of tension, and some people struggle with finding their voice, actually. Some people struggle with being confident about boundaries and communication, and there's a lot of tension that builds up here. So we're gently going to imagine doing an upside down smile. And as you can see, as I do that, it engages the muscles in the neck. And what we're going to do is squeeze and hold there for a count of 5 before we visit the muscles in the face and do a full body contraction. Big deep breath in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, release. So now that we've started to become aware of and get some energy and some movement and some warmth in these places, we're going to return to our full body contraction. So we're going to take a big deep breath in. Squeeze all the muscles in the body now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, release. Just allow everything to settle at your own pace. And be honest about what you notice. Lean into that sense of gratitude, the warm fuzzies, the times you felt lifted, and let it fill you. Now, to condense this down, you could do this in the booth again. Rather than the whole body in the sense of breaking it down, you can squeeze everything together as we just did. And that can take you a few seconds. I would recommend start with breathing and then just start to move so you become, you know, aware of what's happening, and then go straight into a big deep breath, squeeze and hold. You do a few of those. And especially once you start to do the breath work, you'll notice the heart rate come down.
Hello, it's Alan Dedicote here, the National Lottery's voice of the balls and the voice of Strictly Come Dancing, to say that I listen to nothing else but the voiceover social.
Lovely to hear Alan Dedicote there.
So nice.
Actually, we'd like to say congratulations to him because he was awarded the title of VO Legend at this year's One Voice Awards. And he's such a delightful man. So well done to him.
Okay, so we mentioned earlier that Christine Pava from Disney's casting department was at the conference. Her talk was like one of the most enlightening sessions out of the whole weekend. There was some really incredibly useful info in there about the audition process that I suppose might become a knowledge in the US, but for UK-based voiceovers, it's absolutely crucial listening if you're, you know, dreaming of being in the next big Hollywood animation. not going to be me. Here's voiceover Stacey Arthur to introduce it.
Hi, I'm Stacey and I'm based in London. I've just come out of Christine Paver's talk about Ear for Talent with Disney. What I've loved about it is learning that Disney do weekly castings and there is a drive for new voices such as myself.
Because of the pandemic, it's really kind of opened up our world so that we're not just casting in LA or New York anymore. And in the past, our team would cast outside of that as well. But I will say it was a bit of a discussion. You gotta see this talent. They're wonderful. Yes, they're based in London, but they can go to a studio. It will be fine. They don't need to be in front of you. And thankfully, the pandemic has made that conversation a lot easier. So now we're able to kind of actively just say, here's a great person, cast them. And they go, excellent, Kristen, done, approved. It's that easy. So first pass, self-tape, you send it to your agency, they send it to us. We go through every single one of those. Having your best possible audio quality is obviously helpful, right? Typically for the kid networks, humor is going to be, comedy is king. That's what we're looking for. We're trying to make everybody laugh. So like I said, we do set up typically weekly casting meetings. Something interesting about our team that not every team does in different networks is that not only do we cast the pilot, but we also cast all the way through the entire series. So I'm casting every single role that comes up, every single incidental. So the drive for content is here. The drive for new voices is here. And new to us voices, too. I really offended someone that came in for a general once because I said new voices to him. And he was not new. So I don't mean it that way. I just simply mean new to us voices. Our team is really about the creative. And we want to make sure that every single one of our worlds is unique and stands on its own. So we don't typically recycle voices and we don't typically look for the same batch of folks to cast every single time. We're always looking for new folks. So scouting. Our team is also, it was funny, I was talking to J. Michael and he was like, you just kind of sit back and let people come to you, right? No, actually, our team, we are also talent scouts. So we are constantly going out to find you. We go to improv sessions, to stand up. We go to musicals, Broadway. Wherever you are, we're trying to find you. So we're constantly going out. We watch a lot of TV, a lot of movies, with the sole purpose of trying to find you all. Video games, YouTube, TikTok, sad day. I have it, don't want it, but I'm on there looking for you all because there's wonderful people out there. So what are we looking for? Acting, singing talent, that's always a bonus, not necessary. Interesting voices, relevance in the current landscape, diversity, and comedy, like I said. I think I spoke really fast and I jammed through this. We're going to have a lot of time for questions.
When you say you go in internationally, I'm guessing you mainly send out auditions to LA agents, but do you give stuff out to, you know, London agents if you're looking for...
Well, yeah, really, really great question as well. So I'm hoping that at some point we do have a system that can kind of replace that system that we previously used, because at present, like I said, it's just emails that we're sending out, which is really archaic, it feels. Like, come on, Disney, get it together. So it is just going largely to LA-based and some New York-based agents. So you would have to have representation in one of those markets, right? We work with probably 80 different agencies and we send that out to them. So there's quite a few opportunities there, but it would take being kind of represented in those areas or by one of those agents, yeah, to get those auditions.
All right, get your pens ready. For all of you who are really into wanting to be at Disney, Kristen, which particular agents in LA do you favor?
Favor is a weird word. You know, we work with a ton of agencies. Okay, let's do it. CESD, UTA, duh, right? WME, Innovative, DPN. I have a terrible memory. I'm like Nemo. There's time's up. Dean Pinero Talent, great one. They're looking for new talent. Innovative, did I say that? A3, Atlas, Osbrink. Coast to Coast, thank you. Stewart Talent, Artist something. I don't know, that's it. That's all my brain can support right now, I'm so sorry.
When you are casting and an actor will get a breakdown, and let's say you give them sort of five adjectives that you're kind of looking for. If an actor decides that from looking at the picture and maybe reading through that they want to do something completely different, would you be adverse to that or would you be kind of open? It's that thing where how far do you go to take a risk as an actor to kind of mess if you're listening to auditions?
I would be super open to that. And my entire team is super open to that. And I think so. It is so interesting getting so many auditions back. Look, people are reading a script. They're reading a character sides. They're reading a character description. They're seeing a picture and they're going, okay, this is what the EPs want, right? And 95% of the people will send back exactly, almost exactly the same audition, which is just an interesting phenomenon. It's that 5%, I will say. We will always pull from that 95%, right? But I will be honest with you, a lot of the time the EPs don't necessarily know what they really want until they hear it. So we will always throw in what we call our curveballs. So I would say go for it. If you hear something or you see something different in a character, do it. Not to say that everyone should sit here and be like, how can I make this different? But if you have a different idea than what you think the specs are, great, do it. And I always say, like, free yourself from being like, what does Kristen want? Or what does Dan Povenmire want? Or Bob Schooley, like these EPs. Read the script. Read the sides. If you're entertaining yourself, if you've made yourself laugh, chances are we are too. So stop worrying about so much. Like, free yourself from asking the question, what do they want? Because you don't know. I don't know. They don't know. We don't know until we hear you.
Right. That's enough of the conference for now. Let's head off to the One Voice Awards that happened that same weekend to catch up with...
Joe, the VO.
So if you're new to the show... Joe is one of the first generation VoiceOver Career Planner users, and we picked him to follow around, basically, as he used it to set and achieve his goals. And we've been having these wee monthly catch up with him on the show since the start of the year. You can't get rid of us. Joe won VoiceOver Newcomer of the Year at One Voice last year. And one of his key goals for this year was actually to make it to one of the big VoiceOver events to meet people in person. So here he is, just before the awards ceremony.
Hi, Joe. Hi. We are currently outside the room that the awards ceremony, the One Voice Awards...
Yes, we are.
...is about to take place in. And we're in the same place, which is very exciting.
I know.
Yeah, for the first time ever. You have had on your, like, action plan...
Yes.
...get to a conference, meet some people, make some friends for ages. So how's it been?
It's been overwhelming, but I've had so much fun. You know, meeting everybody in the flesh is really weird. It's a bit scary at first, but everybody's been really welcoming and having a lot of fun.
Right now, there's loads of people walking past with plates of food. And as you can hear, the same thing has happened to me that happens every single year. We get on the boat, forget that it's really loud, yell in the faces of all my friends, yeah. and then cannot speak the next day. Ridiculous. I should be yeah. doing like SOVT straw trilling, but we haven't done any of it. And are you not? So, what awards are you nominated for tonight?
Best web / TV commercial and best male of the year.
Great. Best male. Not even best male voiceover, just best male generally.
That too.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And perhaps what we'll do is we'll catch up after the awards.
Yes, definitely.
To either celebrate or commiserate.
No, we'll celebrate regardless. Let's celebrate life.
Okay, yes. We're going to celebrate regardless. Yes. I love it. All right, let's get out of the way of these people.
Come on.
Before we find out if Joe won, then here's a special thing just for you. So in the bar at the awards, Debbie Arnold grabbed me and introduced me to John Coleshaw, who what? I did not know was going to be there, like super duper impressionist chap, for anybody who doesn't know. And I was in absolutely no fit state to interview him, but I did it anyway. And here is the results.
So I am standing in the quietest possible corner at the middle of the VoiceOver One Voice Awards with John Coleshaw. I can't believe this is really happening on a day when my voice is about 15%. And now I hear you had an oatcake this morning that's devastated yours.
I know, it's made me sound sort of husky ever since.
We can work this. I think we should maybe record a demo reel right now. No?
I think so. Everybody has the perfect voice for jazz radio right at this moment. Mm. The kind of perfect tone for introducing music, great music, and we're here till 3 a.m. Do stay with us. That kind of thing.
Listen, you've been working in the voiceover industry for such a ridiculously long time, and now you've been in the room of the One Voice Awards, full of people at absolutely every single stage of their career, all celebrating different types of voiceover. I've had a lovely time. How's it been for you?
It's been absolutely magnificent. So much fun, and just a sense of what a generous industry this is. It's been such a collegiate, lovely sort of works do. And everyone looks out for each other. Everyone supports each other. Everybody is admiring of the skills of everybody else. Voiceovering is it's such a skill. You know, I do character voices and things like that, but when you listen to somebody giving that precision and that extraordinary control, it's something I marvel at hearing. The perfection, the perfect marble sculpture in audio form. I do admire it greatly, I really do.
Well, we shall be printing them out on posters and putting them around town. Thank you very much for that lovely quote.
Oh, not at all. I can remember the first ones I ever did myself. It was at Red Rose Radio in 1986.
In Lancashire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was about 18 or so, and I remember trying out for the first time. And Jerry Rowlands at Red Rose Radio gave me some commercial production scripts. And you just try to say them, and then you realise how tricky it is. Discount sleep centre for beds. Discount sleep centre for beds. Discount sleep centre for beds. Open this weekend. It's not a normal way to speak, but it has to sound normal.
So you realise that voiceover was a bit, possibly voiceover in that sense, is a little bit too contrived for you, would you say?
No, I don't think. I don't think it was a sense of it being contrived. I started though with the impressions.
Ah, I see.
And I think when I got around to doing sort of straight reads and regular reads, you know, with my own voice, I sort of, in a sense, had to do an impersonation of a voiceover.
Oh, no.
Trying to work out what that was.
Yeah.
And I think it's somewhere around here.
Okay.
This is sort of where it's landed.
That is a very traditional voiceover.
Sometimes a bit like this.
Oh. When you cast your eye back on your career so far.
Yeah.
Which of the projects that you've worked on has given you the most joy?
Oh, my goodness. I did very much enjoy playing David Bowie in 2018 in a drama for the World Service, which was called The Final Take, Bowie in the Studio. And it was very, very profound, and he was at the top of his game. It was brilliantly directed by Dirk Maggs, written by David Morley. I was immensely proud of that.
Great choice. And I've got to tell you something, you were interviewed about it on BBC Radio Manchester.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why you were interviewed about that job on BBC Radio Manchester, because I was like, have you thought about speaking to John Coleshaw? Because I was working there on that day when they wanted to cover like impressionists. That's what we're doing. Do you remember?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I always love talking to radio stations from, you know, my home area or stations sort of where I used to work. I always find that such a lovely sort of homecoming, joyful thing.
Yes, yeah, Manchester all the way.
Yeah.
Or the Northwest, if you like.
Exactly.
Sure,
exactly.
Sure.
Yes, the Granada TV region.
Great. Hooray for the Granada TV
Yay.
Region.
Woo!
All right, coming up in a moment, we'll hear whether Joe the VO won the two awards he was nominated for. But first, we're going to use our platform to be absolutely selfish.
Oh,
are you
yes.
ready?
Yes.
Okay, here it is. Every year, there's a One Voice Award for the best outtake. And almost every feckin' year, voiceover Ian Brannan wins it. And fair play to him. Like, if you're voicing ads for the incontinence supermarket, which is a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, very good.
You ought to be able to shout about it
yes.
and make mistakes and laugh your wee legs off. But there was one outtake that we found even more debilitating. So here is R. Kelly Condren trying to say, and I'm going to do this slowly, flapjack dipping.
A hot chocolate for flapjack dicking. Dicking. We're definitely not doing any dicking. No dicking. A hot chocolate for flapjack. Flapjack. Flap. We're not jap dicking. Okay. Flapjack dipping. Flapjack dick. Flapjack dip. A hot chocolate for flapjack dicking. I can't do it because I keep saying the wrong thing and it's really inappropriate. Okay. It's going to be a while. Okay. A hot chocolate for flapjack. A hot chocolate for flapjack dicking. It's not dicking, we're not dicking. A hot chocolate for flapjack dicking. Dicking, we're not dicking. Oh, we're not dicking. It's not dicking. We only need one good take of it. I need to put a pause in there. A hot chocolate for flapjack dicking. We're not dipping. We're definitely not dicking flapjacks. We're dipping them. We're dipping them in hot chocolate. Stop it. Oh. I've gone. I've got actual tears. Okay, stop. When voiceovers go wrong. A hot chocolate for flapjack. Oh, it's going to be a long night. Okay. I can't do it. I can't actually do it. How am I going to send this to the client? I can't do it. A hot chocolate for flapjack dipping. That was nearly there. A hot chocolate for flapjack dipping or a coffee for sipping. I've got it. A hot chocolate for flapjack. A hot chocolate for flapjack. I've not got it. Try and say it. A hot chocolate for flapjack dipping. Try and say it. And see if you dick as well. See if you dick like I do.
Okay, so, like, on a scale of 0 to 10, how devastated are you?
I'm actually all right.
Oh, you are?
I'm actually all right. I'm very competitive, I am. But at the same time, I was nominated, so I'm happy.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yes.
So.
And I want to point out that Stefan... Oh, my God. Shush. Stefan Kornikard said... What's it called? What's the word? Dedicated.
Yeah.
His award to his mum.
Yeah.
And then the winner of female voiceover of the year, Justin Harris, dedicated it to all mums. So I'm feeling pretty good right now.
That was amazing.
I feel like I won. So we're going to celebrate
like
me.
Because of that... I couldn't have won because I probably would have dedicated it to my cat. And I was so going to do it as well. So probably for the best.
Great,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I could have, imagine if I actually won and then I'd done a cat and then, you know... The
totally unsuitable.
Yeah, it's not right. So,
no,
yeah.
Great. No, I think it's all worked out rather well at the
exactly.
end.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
Shout out to my cat, by the way.
So, listen... We promised you some news on the future of the podcast.
Dun, dun, dun.
And here it is. We're having a bit of time off over the summer,
yes.
Right?
This is the news. This is
Look, this is it. This is now, why are we doing this, Leah?
Well, right. Yes, good question. Why are we having a break? There are two main reasons. The first one is we want to make sure that we're getting the planner right. And the planner takes a huge amount of effort to make sure that all the content is super duper high quality, that it's printed really well, that we can reach as many people as possible to let them know about it. There's just so much work going into it that we need that time to get it right, essentially. The second thing is that I am trying to write a play because I want to be cast in more audio drama than I currently have been in. I've been in a few Radio 4 plays and it's been amazing, but I want more. Woo-hoo. And I've realised that the main problem that's getting in the way of me being cast in more audio drama is I'm not in enough visible in-person stuff for audio drama producers to see me in and then cast me as a result of. That's, I think, the key thing that's in the way of it. So I'm auditioning for everything that I can in the Greater Manchester area, but I'm also writing this solo show, which is about, and if you follow me on Instagram you may already know about this, it's about a Orthodox Jewish Lithuanian Yiddish speaking lesbian widowed mother in the 1890s whose town burns down and then she comes to live in Manchester, in the Red Bank area of Manchester. And it's based on a true story. Although she doesn't exist, the town existed, and that's where all my family are originally from. So I really want to be spending quite a lot of time just sitting and writing and thinking about that. And I've done a huge amount of research, and I'm halfway through a first draft, but that is not enough way through any drafts. So I need to be really concentrating on that. And that is one of the things I'm going to be spending the sitting and thinking and staring into space time on over the next couple of months, instead of making the podcast, which is what normally fills up that time. That is what I'm doing over summer.
I'm so proud of you.
Are you?
Thanks. Yeah, when you give some of those little pictures of you in the Jewish library.
In the Manchester Jewish Museum.
So happy.
Exactly.
So happy.
Yes, I was happy. Nick, what are you doing over summer?
Well, Leah, I get abandoned over the summer, don't I?
Oh, yes, you
so
do.
So that's why I'm going to have a few months off.
Explain.
My husband is a comedian and he goes to Edinburgh Festival every year to do a show. So he is intensely busy with that from literally now, because he's doing two shows instead of one. Congratulations, dear. and he will be gone for like 5 weeks from July into all the way through August. So I'm taking a bit of my extra time just to survive.
Yes, that sounds very creative.
But I'm also developing a few fun things that I'll be working on in the interim, you know, courses and online things and merch. What?
Merch. Oh, I love merch. Love. Brilliant.
Yeah, love merch.
As a result of all this extremely creative productivity and general survival, there will be no proper episodes of the podcast out until September the 1st. But we might pop into your feed once or twice with some little bits of bonus content here and there, just so we don't all miss each other too much.
Pre-order your planner. Click the link in the show notes.
Great, yes, do.
No, I'm serious though, because just bloody get one. Because if anybody, honest, I get this all the time with courses and everything. If people are like, wait and wait and wait, and then they're like, oh, I missed it. I'm like, well, sorry, you missed it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you want one, get one.
Get one. Pre-order it right now to be absolutely
certain. Don't be FOMO.
No FOMO for you.
Do you be FOMO? Do you have FOMO? I don't know.
Hopefully none of those things.
Yes. Don't have it.
Don't. I've been Leah Marks.
I've been Nick. Pre-order your planner, Redman.
And we are the Voice Over Social.
See you in September.
Woo. Together till the end of the road. Together till the end of the road.